The Bible is funny.
Well, hello again, the Bible is Funny podcast family, and welcome back to another very special episode of the Bible is Funny podcast. The Bible is Funny podcast, of course, where we talk about the funniest parts of the Bible and what we can learn from them. We're in springtime here. This is March as of me recording this. And I am not alone in this podcast. Again, we are on a powerhouse run of guests, and today is no different. I'm very excited to be joined by our guests today, and I'm going to welcome them on. I'm going to welcome on Andy and Josh from Sunday Cool. Josh, some of you might know better as Cool Carl. Andy and Josh.
What up? How's it going?
How do you do?
It's so good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good, man.
We're solid. We're happy to be here.
I'm so happy you guys are here. I have so much I want to talk to you guys about. Josh, you go under this. Do you view it as like a superhero name? What's your relationship with Cool Carl?
I don't know if you've heard this. Some would say it's a disease. It's called schizophrenia.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Just kidding. So it's just a character of which I play.
Alias.
Yes. Some would say. Yeah. It's my, I guess Josh's secret identity.
Yeah.
Carl. Yeah. It's what we use for content and marketing here at Sunday Cool.
Yeah.
And he's our flow.
Yeah.
He's our progressive flow.
Your progressive flow.
Or the
right.
Gecko.
Yeah, the Gecko. Yeah.
So do you feel like there's a bit of like a Superman Clark Kent to it where you walk around without a particular style of sweater on and people are like, oh, I don't know who that is. But then you put that sweater on and people are like, oh, that's cool, Carl.
It's literally the opposite of Clark Kent because when I wear the glasses,
that's
when I'm Superman. And when I take them off, it's like, who is that?
Yeah. Clark Kent reverse.
Unfortunately, I can't hide too much because I look very unique.
Unique's a word.
Yeah.
Unique, yeah.
It's like
unique's a word.
It's like
a way to put it.
A mix between a homeless man and
a hippie.
Like
a hippie cult leader.
Yeah.
And a children's minister.
Yeah, and a Russian mobster.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
When you have that look, there's only three professions you can go into, and we just listed them all. Those are the options you have.
Exactly. So
you have like several aliases, though, that you do produce content with. I'm curious, do you have like a favorite? Because like you have Brock, right? Is that the guy? Is that the Gen Z guy's name?
Yeah, that's Brock. We say that's Carl's cousin.
You say it is or it is?
It is Carl's cousin.
Okay, I was confused for that.
But that is also played by me. Yeah, he's the Gen Z guy. And then we have Quishan, who is Carl's German cousin.
Fashion expert.
Yeah.
Recently we've been coming out with some new ones too. Like we have Charles Cross, who is the English man who translates different stuff.
Yep, kind of our take on what's the guy from National Geographic?
Oh, the planner at the
David Attenborough?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
The elephant.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
My favorite part of Charles Cross is his intro, where the show is called like something with Charles Cross, and then he looks and says, "I am of course Charles Cross."
Yes. That's when we put that in there, I always think it's funny whenever they say like, you know, the Late Show with Jimmy Fallon featuring "Here You Are, Jimmy Fallon." I was like, "You're just repeating it. Like, don't have that be right. Part of the show." And so that's what I kind of jab at that. It was fun.
Yeah, but we're always coming up with new characters and stuff. Like we have the Billy and Bobby bit where we're just like these it's based off of like the Green Street Hooligans kind of vibe, like the
Guy
Ritchie.
The Cockney English guys. So that's
I love it.
Yeah.
A
whole bunch of
stuff. What does Cockney sound like?
Yeah, what does Can I hear that a little bit, what that accent is, just to place it for the folks in listening?
The intro? What was the intro?
What was the intro?
It's Billy and Bobby.
I'm Billy, this is Bobby. Today we're going to talk about the Ten Commandments.
Yes, we are.
So my thing was kind of like an Arthur from, what is that show? The
Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders, yeah. Yeah. Real deep.
Yeah. And then I loved it. That was such a fun video to film because we discovered that there's this thing called the Cockney rhyming slang, which is like, okay. it's a real language. And we use it all throughout the video. So like,
let's go for a bowl and chalk.
Yeah, bowl and chalk, which is like a walk. And then like baked bean is the queen. And like
Barnaby Rudge would be judge.
Yeah.
It's just craziness. Absolutely. Like, it's a crazy, weird, but beautiful language.
Yeah. It was,
baked bean means, it means the queen. That's like,
I'll praise the baked bean.
Long live the baked bean.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
We're watching The Crown currently. I don't know if that's up your guys' alley. But I am, like, in love with the... it's a new-ish revelation to me. Yeah, the Guy Ritchie stuff introduced me to some of the ranges of dialect. But The Crown has even done more to be like, oh, yeah, it's not just all that guy that was in Mary Poppins. Like, there's all kinds of accents.
Yeah, that was great. It's like
famously awful accent.
Did I sweep your chimney?
Chimney.
Yeah.
This is a fun fact, and more than you guys or my listeners probably want to know. But sometimes I go into that accent because it just really grosses my wife out. She finds it like very gross. And so I'll just slide into it, and she is like repulsed. I don't know why, as a husband, that becomes such a cool thing when you can repulse your wife. You spend all this time like attracting your wife and like trying to impress her, and then there's like a fun little next level to the video game where it's like, here's a bonus round. You can also make her like really grossed out. You should lean into that.
That's marriage. You court her, you date her, you impress her, and then as soon as she's contractually obligated to be with you for the rest of her life, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah,
all bets are off.
Contractually obligated. Andy, question for you. Do you have like a moniker as staple as Cool Carl, do you? I think you're the Karen character though, aren't you?
That's the one character that I've had to repeat, but besides that, it's just been whenever I got here, I was like, so what character am I playing? And they're like, oh, you're just Andy. And so I've been a range of I'm living in a swamp, I'm being slapped, I'm the guy talking Carl off the ledge. But my most famous, or most popular, I guess, has been the Karen character, which I'm not sure how I feel about. Because if that's something I have to continue like Carl, I'm not sure I can fully commit to that.
I just love the dichotomy of having Cool Carl and just Andy. That's great.
It is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it seems that's one thing about like your guys' content is it seems so fun. If you're a listener and you're not familiar, I'll put the Instagram handle and stuff, and we'll talk about it at the end too, where you can go follow along. But everything you guys do seems very fun. It seems like you just have a lot of fun making, and you make a lot of stuff. Like, you make a really high amount of content.
Yeah, that's what we're paid to do. Yeah, no, we try to do a good video every Wednesday, because that's just what I started off doing. We call it the Thank Goodness It's Wednesday video, because our main audience is like youth groups and youth pastors and stuff. So that's Wednesday is like youth group day. So that's our main release or whatever. But
yeah, so it's definitely a challenge to do it every single week. And try to be, you know, a home run every single week. But it's a lot of fun just simply because we have such great leadership here at Sunday Cool, where we have the flexibility to, we put out content for marketing and we do a lot of stuff for Sunday Cool. But when it comes to just producing Cool Carl content, it's a blast because we have full creative control when it comes to that. So it's like if we want to come up with a video with, Billy and Bobby, like these weird, two weird guys talking about the Ten Commandments. Like, we can do that without hesitating.
Yeah.
And so it's been, and get to be able to get paid while doing it is, as you know, as a bonus for sure. Yeah. I still haven't got a check, but yeah.
It's coming.
They're sending out all the vaccinations. You know how the mail gets.
Nancy Pelosi's desk again, still.
There's definitely the Venn diagram there of content makers and like people that work in churches, the perpetuality of it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like if you crush, it's like, good job. You have to make something else like right away. Like, there's no like, oh, you did it.
Yeah. It's terrifying. It's like, I live a life of anxiety of whether or not a video is going to do good.
Just yeah, kidding. Not really. And if it does really, really well, then that means we can no longer be mediocre. We can no longer just put out okay videos. It's like we've set a precedent where it's like, this is where we have to go, and let's keep being more creative. And so it's a good challenge.
Do you ever feel that pressure of when you do have one that's like really good or get, or just, I'll say this because you know, when you're making the stuff, like sometimes you're really proud of some elements and it just doesn't hit with the audience the same way. So when the audience goes bananas, you have something that goes like viral or whatever that, whatever we're doing with that word at this point. Do you feel pressure about the next video? Cause you're like, oh no, the last one did so good. Do you ever feel that?
Yes. But also I get really confused sometimes cause there'll be stuff that we make and we're like, this is the funniest thing ever. Like, this is like, we're so proud of it. And then we release it and it totally tanks. Like, what in the world? And then we release something that, like, if we're behind and we have to just like put something together real quick and release it, like half effort, then it like blows up. And so that's fun.
So what we're saying is we have no idea what we're doing. It's just like
that's it.
It's like a sermon, you know, a guy goes up there, you know, a preacher can just literally have, you know, absolutely great confidence and walk off and like, that was great. And then it lands with no one. And then you go up there and you bomb and everyone's like, wow, that was the best sermon you've ever preached. And then it's like, okay, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost to me, that's the scarier feeling of like, when I feel like this is really good, it's well received. You're like, okay, some things are lining up. When I feel like, I don't know, we got to put something out. And then it goes out and it does really good. I'm like, I literally, someone needs to help me because I don't know what's happening right now. I'm like, I'm obviously off the post. Okay, I got too much I want to talk to you guys about. Josh, if I can, say this to the listeners and to the world. Are you, you're about to become a father? You're about to have a baby?
Literally.
Any day now.
Like, it could be today. Our due date is on Monday, which is, four days away. But, so yeah, any day now.
It could be happening right now. Have you texted your wife?
No, because we're doing a video chat.
Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. We'll figure out later.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yes, when we were scheduling this, we talked about that because it was like, well, we'll have to see where you're at. Is this your first child?
Yes, my first child.
Any advice?
Well, I mean, I was going to ask how you're feeling. Now I have some time to think of advice.
Feeling super stoked. I've always wanted a kid, and you know, I feel like it's every kind of like male Christian when they're like college age, where they're like they can't find a girlfriend. They're like, God, I'm content with being single. You know, when I was at that stage, I'm like, no matter what, if I remain single the rest of my life, like I'll adopt a kid because I've always wanted a kid. So I'm stoked because now I have a wife and a kid. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know if it's a boy or a girl?
It's a girl. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. We did. So I'm like never been a fan of like the gender reveals, you know, because they're kind of just lame for the most part. But I'm like, if we're going to do a gender reveal, I want to make it to where it could go viral. And so what we did was Andy painted his whole body pink and then wore an adult diaper. And then like we like lowered we had this giant trailer and like lowered the door and like he came out and did like a cannon and stuff. But it ended up going super viral and like it's currently sitting at like
over 100 million
views. Yeah, over 100 million views.
What?
Yeah, it got picked up at like Barstool Sports and like everywhere, it just went bananas. Yeah. But yeah, it had no connection back to us, so it was kind of just worthless little
thing. Yeah, we could have put a Sunday Cool logo in there or a Cool Carl logo and probably got a, you know, a few hundred followers, but it's all right. No big deal.
Yeah. So
if you guys would have sped up production on the Sunday Cool diapers, then you could have utilized them there.
Yeah, we could have. Definitely.
A girl. No, I don't have any advice on. I have two boys, so I don't know exactly what that experience is like. Andy, are you married? Do you have any kids?
I am married. I have two girls, and so I've shouted off enough advice, or he's been around my kids enough to know what not to do. And so, yeah, he's set for at least a couple years.
Yeah.
The only thing helpful I think I've ever told another parent, and Andy, you can correct me if this was not your experience. There came a point when we first had Crosby where we were just not sleeping. And like the energy of having a kid rode me through like a couple weeks of it. And it was just like, this is so, you're like having these moments that are so precious with your brand new baby that you and your wife, you know, she just like created this. It's all magical. And then like a month after that, I was like, I remember getting ready for work one day and going like, I'm going to die. Parenting is going to kill me. That's just my journey. And I think Rach is wonderful. I think she's going to raise these kids great, but I'm not going to make it.
And please find someone else after I'm gone.
They're going to be fine. And it's like my body was just rejecting the fact that we were not sleeping a normal schedule anymore. And then eventually it was like two and a half months, which I know is not a great, it's not super encouraging. I was like, okay, cool. We just don't sleep anymore. And my body was like, that's what we do. We don't sleep. I obviously survived. I'm here today. But that's the only.
Yeah. That's my greatest anxiety because I love to sleep and I become a real jerk when I don't sleep. So this will be a very exciting time.
Yeah, it's, you just get there. I don't know. One morning I remember waking up and I was like, man, 4 straight hours of sleep. I feel like I could run a marathon today. Wow. Like, this is great.
See, I
feel great. And our
girls literally were so good. Like, we literally, our first kids, we were so terrified. We're not going to get any sleep. What's going to happen? And Demi popped out and she was sleeping through the night within 2 weeks. And I was like, what is happening? And then everyone would come up to us at church and like, oh, I bet you're just so sleep deprived. And we are getting all this sympathy. And everyone's like, you know, like, just don't worry about it. Here's a gift card to go out to eat. You know, it's like, and where I'm looking at Kelsey, I'm like, should we tell them? And she's like, no, we're going to be fine. We're gonna be fine. Well, it'll come. I'm sure our punishment will come sooner or later. But right now we're going to enjoy it. So I don't have any experience with sleep deprivation.
I'm very jealous of you. Neither of my kids like to sleep at all. And I was always like not good at the making them sleep bit. That like people were like, oh, we just, you know, forced them to sleep and they were good at it. And I was like, yeah, oh, we're gonna do it. And then like, you know, they're laying in there and Nana, help me.
That's awesome.
All right, I'll go in there. I fell apart. but that's super exciting, dude. I'm very happy for you and your wife. That is very exciting.
Yeah, we're super stoked.
Hopefully we'll post this, you know, probably when we post this, the baby will be here.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So it's outdated information already. Okay, a couple of things I want to talk about. You guys are in, let me back up a little bit. Andy, you mentioned this. You said when I got here, I asked like what characters you want to play or whatever. So how long have you been in? How did you get involved? How did that all start?
This August, I'll be my 2 years here at Sunday Cool. I was a youth pastor in Joplin, Missouri for 7 years. Went to college with my wife and got a job up there. Great, great place. And then I became a big fan of Cool Carl and Josh's stuff and started showing his stuff in youth group. And then I created some of my own characters and stuff for my fundraisers. And I always love making videos for my youth group. So I created a character and they kind of went, not viral, but just kind of was a little popular and got shared a little bit into the youth pastor groups on Facebook. And Josh saw that and then asked for my address, which made me geek out like a little schoolgirl. And he sent me, you know, some swag. And then later on, he messaged me and said, hey, I think you're really creative. I think you can help me script out some videos. In return, I'll send you T-shirts. And I said, deal, done. And then a few months later, we met at Orange Conference and had lunch. And they kind of offered me the job right then and there. And 3 months later, I can move down here, move the whole family down. We're in love. We love Florida. We love this job. So it's been an absolute ride for the past 2 years. It's been really, really cool.
That's awesome. So then, Josh, I guess I'll back up a step further. Like Sunday, how does Sunday Cool start? Maybe a brief synopsis for if somebody doesn't know what is Sunday Cool And how did it all get started?
Yeah, so Sunday Cool, we're, our official name is Sunday Cool Tees. So we do t-shirts, just all apparel, really, hats, ASI products like cups, whatever. But our specialty is like super soft t-shirts. We use like a water-based ink, which is like super soft feeling. Yeah, but so my dad started a Christian t-shirt company when I was like one or two, and it was called Youth Stuff. And he had that for forever. He sold it in 2011, and then he went off and was doing some other stuff. And then me and my brother opened up a screen print shop called Outhouse Tees. And our catch line was Outhouse Tees, where shirts happen. So that was fun. So we did that for about 2 or 3 years. And then my dad wanted to get back into the screen printing game. So he started Sunday Cool and then absorbed mine and my brother's print shop. And so we just became Sunday Cool Tees. And yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it.
That's where Carl began.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Carl began pretty much first year. Because I was doing like screen printing and stuff, wasn't really enjoying it that much because I've been doing it my whole life. And my dad was just like, "Hey, do you want to start doing like marketing videos?" So I was like, "Do you want me to do like a character?" And he's like, "I don't care, do whatever you want." And so I'm like, "Okay." So I put on a sweater and put on glasses. I'm like, "Hey, my name's Conservative Carl." And my dad's like, "Okay, we'll go with that." And it turned out to work out really well. People really enjoyed it. So
I think Sunday Cool started off with 5 people right at the start, and now we're closing in on 70 employees. And last year we got named number 98th fastest growing private company in the world. I mean, in the nation, out of 30 million companies.
Yeah.
So it's been
crazy. This is year number 4 for Sunday Cool. Yeah. We're super blessed. It's insane. It doesn't make sense, honestly. So.
Oh, man. That's so cool. So Cool Carl started as Conservative Carl? Did I hear that right?
Yeah, it started off as Conservative Carl, and I had a really insane accent that I was doing. It was based off of Zach Galifianakis, you know?
Okay.
He does this bit
like which?
Do what?
Like which bit? I was just curious which bit.
The one where he has like his twin brother named Seth Galifianakis. It's like in one comedy special. But like his brother Seth is a youth pastor, and like he has a southern accent, but it's like super like, "Hey, this is crazy, y'all." Like that's a buzzkill. Yeah. And so that's where I started off talking like. But so there's, if you go way back on Sunday Cool Tees, which I try not to tell people because it's super embarrassing, but you'll hear that accent. It's terrible. But so we would go to like conferences and stuff, and like the whole bit was that I was like the conservative guy who was like opposed to like your knees being shown and stuff like that. But it was funny because it was ironic because the way I look with the long hair and tattoos everywhere. But I eventually just gradually started changing it to like just a southern accent. And because when I would talk to people out in like conferences and stuff, they'd be like, "What is this dude's deal?" Like, so so that was the change from Conservative Carl to Cool Carl.
To Cool Carl.
Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome. I have one more question about the story. So when your dad says, "I'm starting Sunday Cool," and he absorbs the other company, is this presented as like a proposition to you guys, or is he like, "Hey"?
No, it was a life.
I'm your dad, and I'm going to absorb the company.
Me and my brother knew nothing about running a business. We were like, could barely afford anything. I think like, at the point where Sunday Cool absorbed Outhouse Tees, I had $30 in my bank account, and my brother had negative $30 in his bank account. So my dad's like, "Hey, let me just absorb all your screen printing equipment, and you guys can work for Sunday Cool and get a paycheck." Like, yeah.
Wow.
So it worked out.
Agreed. You know, together you guys were breaking even, though.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to look at it.
Don't sell yourself too short. That's such a cool story. I did not know any of that. And that's very cool. So like I said, we'll recover all this again, but we'll tell you where you can follow Sunday Cool and Cool Carl and stuff. I want to ask, though, because I know this is a thing for me. This is a lifestyle thing for me. I guess I've had some people on the podcast that fit this descriptor. But Josh, sounds like maybe you by birth. Andy, you by transfer. You are both Florida men.
Yes. Yes. By birth, I am a Florida man.
I'm trying.
Is this something? How do you wear this?
I wear it with pride.
How do you wear this distinction?
Oh, I definitely wear it with pride. I love Florida. When I was in high school, I was like, whatever it takes, I just want to get out of Florida. And yeah. So out of high school, I was everywhere, like California, Montana, Indiana, South Korea for a bit. But I came back to Florida and just realized how much I love it here. So I'm proud to be a Florida man.
Yeah, it's an awesome place to live. I've lived all over, just like Josh has. And I'm from Montana, and so this is the perfect transplant move right here. This is a whole lot better, you know, climate change wise. I love the beaches. I love everything being around. The weather is completely nice, and so I don't care how many meth infused garters we have. I'm happy to be here.
At some point, there's enough gators around and there's enough meth around that inevitably that was going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's anybody's fault, but kind of something that had to eventually come out. Last question about this, and then I want to move on to another discussion point. Josh, how long have you been referring to people as chicken nuggets?
I personally, as Josh, don't call people chicken nuggets. But I started that with Carl. So my whole goal in the beginning was to always call them something different. So I'll call them like gobstoppers or Tootsie Rolls. And then I'm like, I'm running out of things to call them without some of them sounding like offensive. So I just stuck with chicken nuggets because I like Chick-fil-A. So I just ran with the whole Christian Chick-fil-A chicken nugget theme. So that became Carl's catchphrase. So that's fun.
It's a great start to every video. Hey, all you little chicken nuggets. Something I really came to love. Well, I wanted to talk to you guys about a Bible story, because that's what we do here. And I had this thought when it came to you, when I asked you to be on the podcast, because of some stuff you did. And I didn't realize till later that you have also made a video about the story of the Tower of Babel.
Yeah, we did do that.
That was a fun one to make because it was really, really chaotic, really, really busy, and involved a lot of people. And I thought it was just a fun, I think I remember the day we created the idea. We just thought about like what it would look like if we just reenacted a lot of any story in the Bible. And the first thing we thought of was like, man, like, well, imagine like the pitch meeting for like, because there had been plans, like someone had to have built a plan to build the Tower of Babel. And so what would that have looked like?
Yeah.
And so we just thought it would just be a blast. And that's one of my favorite ones that we've ever done.
Yeah. And we got to use a lot of the Sunday Cool employees for that, which was really cool. So
yeah, it turned out super funny. And it's literally like exactly sort of the practice of what we do on The Bible Is Funny. Like we go through stories and see what's funny about them. And one of the things I thought was so that didn't jump out at me initially that you guys touched on was the idea of it just being like a tower. like you have like, this like
amazing to them.
Yeah.
You have this like, you know, the visual you have and the different people will read different things in the text. It's like a super hyper technologically advanced society. Some people suggest. And that all these people are working together. They all speak the same language. And the idea is like, let's build like the simplest thing out of Legos that you can possibly build. Just straight up.
Let's just build a really big building, guys.
No thrills. Just think about it. Just a box, but tall.
Yeah. Wait, like somebody's like, what if we did like a castle? No. No.
Stop it. Alan, get out.
Alan. Alan was a great character in that. Yeah, there's so many good things about that. And then the thing you guys captured was the moment, which is that it is. It's so inspiration sparking of like everybody speaks the same language. And then in a second, everybody doesn't speak the same language. And like, how does that play out? So you guys captured that very well. You can go back and check that out. It was a couple months ago now, but you can go back and check it out. It's hilarious. But I wanted to talk about this story with you guys because you also do a lot of work with like Gen Z language. So I guess I'll start there. Like, what was there something early on that like fascinated you about it? What drew you to the Gen Z language work you do?
Yeah. So, before Andy got here, I was doing a lot of my, research, if you will, on Facebook. So I'm part of like a bunch of youth ministry Facebook groups, like stuff you can use, download youth ministry, youthmen.org, all that stuff. And I was noticing like a lot of youth pastors were joking about like their kids are saying just like they have such a strange language, like they their abbreviations for things and what they call things is just so confusing. And I thought, man, that'd be really funny to make a Gen Z translation video, and that's where Brock was pretty much birthed, of him being a Gen Z kid and then Carl asking how he translates stuff. Mm-hmm. So I put that together, or first I like sent out a thing or like a post, and I was like, what are kids saying and what is the meaning of it? And so they gave me basically a whole dictionary of just words. And so that's why I used her, the video, and it ended up like blowing up, like just went crazy, crazy. It's like
still is. It's still like we get comments on the video, and it was 2 years ago.
Like on YouTube, it's well over 2 million. Facebook, it's well over 3 million, and it's crazy. So I just decided to start doing that, and then I started doing Gen Z Bible translations, and so I started messing around with that. People were really enjoying it. And then we got approached by Lifeway to write a devotional called The Word According to Gen Z. And our whole intention, too, we're trying to stay super, what's the word? Reverent?
Yeah, reverent, theologically correct.
Yeah, we never want to, like, even with our scripts and our videos, we never want to, like, seem blasphemous or
right.
Like we just, the whole goal was to use humor to entice kids to start reading scripture more. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we did. We did, just a couple of verses. We did how many? 30? Yeah.
Yeah. 30.
We did 30 verses and we would translate the verse into Gen Z. And then on the next page, I had the ESV version with a Devo. Super fun. And we were super stoked about it. And then have you heard this story of the whole drama behind it?
No, I haven't heard the full story. No, I'm fascinated.
Yeah, so we launched it August 15th. Yep. August 15th, we launched the book. We were on like this, we call it like a Lifeway student conference, online conference, and they're promoting the book. And 5 days after it was released. And then some people on Twitter just went off roasting the book, calling it blasphemous, like this is terrible. They didn't even read it, though. They just saw the cover of it thinking that we had a whole Bible translation, which we would never do. We would never touch that because that would be not cool, in my opinion. But so Lifeway dropped us instantly, like within 5 hours.
Wow.
And so the joke is that we were published authors for 5 days. And but
no.
It was honestly, it was a blessing in disguise though. Because we ended up self-publishing, and with all the traction that we were getting to our website, because there are so many people like saying good things, but way more people saying bad things.
Yeah.
But we were able to just like get the books in the hands of a bunch of teenagers, and like the stories we've gotten from them are just super cool and super encouraging. But
but the whole Gen Z thing comes from just a passion of just us trying to get the kids that are, you know, in Gen Z, the Gen Z generation, that are just passionate and about the God, the Word of God, and just get them engaged, get them excited about it. And if we have to make up stupid words like chest thumpers for your heart, like just making stupid nicknames, like, we'll do that, because if that's what makes them cringe, if that makes them laugh, whatever, they're paying attention to the scripture more than they previously were. So
yeah, this will probably be a shock, but when I started to hear some of this story, it caught my ears very much so, because I was like, oh, I do a funny thing on the Bible. This is sort of terrifying.
Suddenly the Bible is funny's Instagram just went private.
Yeah, it's really weird. So yeah, I had heard, I'm so interested. Thank you for sharing that whole story. Because yeah, it's interesting. Early on, the account name is The Bible Is Funny. So early on, we would just get huge pushback, like, just about the littlest things. And it was even coming in really silly ways. Like, they were like, that's not actually, the verse doesn't say that, which was always super hilarious. Cause it's like, we literally pull it from the verse. Like, I've never once put a word in there. It's not supposed to, that isn't in there. But yeah, always, I definitely respect the heart of that. And I'm such a fan of, it's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you guys, because I think it's critical that we are allowing people to even like address the Bible from some different avenues. Because in some ways, like, some of the more traditional avenues aren't working like they used to. So let's talk about this in some different ways, because we know that if we can pull them into this thing, it will have like a really huge impact on their life. So for me, it's always been like, yeah, let's do a funny meme that features the Bible verse. Is it like completely out of context? 100%. The Bible did not write anything about touch-free hand sanitizer dispensers. So yes, this meme is not originally what that biblical text is meant to be. But the intention for this project has always been that it's so far out that it's like, well, of course you couldn't interpret it that way. So I had tremendous respect from afar as I was watching that story kind of unravel, and you guys, and even just interacting with that, I think, like, Andy, as like a youth pastor not that long ago, I mean, where do you toe that line? Like, you mentioned the cringe versus funny, because I feel like you got to have that line where you're like, I don't speak this like you speak it, but I know about it, but I have like a general awareness of it.
And that was the thing when we were writing the Devo. It's like, we can't, there's nothing worse than a person of older generation that doesn't have any, like, you know, just like self-awareness, that like goes in thinking, I'm hip, I know what I'm saying, even the word hip right there, it's like, I know I'm cool, and so I'm gonna act like I know these words. And so what we're saying is, like, we're admitting, like, in the intro to the book, like, we don't know, so we made up a bunch of language, because that's what Gen Z does, is they take this really funny term and they make that, like, you know, like, no cap, like, that's like, that makes no sense, I don't understand it, but it's like, but I understand what it means, they make it up. And so what we could do is do the exact same thing, take a word or something in the Bible, or like the idea of, like, you know, just the heart, what would we call a heart? And it was so much fun to sit down and say, okay, it's in your chest, it thumps, and we're gonna call it a chest thumper. And so it's like, we know, we're admitting right up front, we know you don't talk like this. That's the point. We're here to have fun. And so I think that's super important, is just being like that on purpose cringe. Like, I would you being a dad, you're going to be using that language to your kids when they're teenagers, simply because you want to make them cringe. You want to make them laugh. You want to make them uncomfortable. Right. But it's just I think it's just another form of endearment toward that generation.
You're exactly right, and I can't spiritually defend this at all, but there's something about me as a husband that wants to repulse my wife, and as a dad that wants to embarrass my kids. Like, it's just natural. I don't even know why. A lot. Stuff to look forward to, Josh. You're in for a fun ride.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great.
By the way, can I share my favorite thing that you've ever posted?
Oh, wow. Yeah, please.
It was Proverbs 26:27. If you set a trap for others, you will get it caught in yourself. And it's the, when you throw a banana in Mario Kart and slip on the next lap. Like, it's I think that's phenomenal. That's a great one.
But it's so funny you even bring that specific one up, because I will get, like, you know, that's not what that verse means. And I literally don't even know how to respond. Like, so you're telling me this isn't in regards to Mario Kart? It's always very funny to me. Thank you for shouting that out.
Absolutely.
Do you have a favorite Gen Z term, I wanted to ask?
Oh, I do. It's been a while. We have not been exercising our Gen Z brains.
We are on TikTok a ton, though.
Yeah.
And we love the TikTok.
One of my favorites that we used in the... well, I have two favorites that we used in the Devo. One of them was, instead of saying grass, we said moo moo food. And then when we were calling the Israelites, we called them God's Chosies or the Manna Fam.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah,
I think those were definitely two of my favorites.
Manna Fam.
Yeah. But I'm trying to think of
it's the verses. I sought the Lord, he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. And our translation was, I Marco Polo'd Cap G and he didn't leave me on red. Like, just, I just love the idea that we like, okay, like, okay, what's a Gen Z word for I sought? And it's like, I Marco Polo'd.
I Marco Polo'd.
Like, we make it verb. Yeah.
So,
dude, it's fun. That's a fun, that could see those meetings that you were describing being fun to, like, how can we say this in the most bizarre, but somehow remain accurate kind of way. Can you define for the listeners at home what yeet means?
It is a word that you can use as an adjective, as a verb, as a noun. It's
an expletive.
Yeah, it's a very universal term. It means... almost everything, but usually it's from what I've gathered from the young generation is that it's typically like
to remove something rapidly.
Yeah, or to throw or something. So just yeet.
Yeah. I think it's more of a way of life for some.
Yeet or be yeeted.
Yeet is a lifestyle. That's been the one I feel like I can't approach because it's something I don't understand. It's the yeet.
It's just a meme now. And I don't even think, if anyone says yeet, it's really cringy. It's definitely
past its time already.
Yeah.
It just started. Now it's gone.
And this is the boomers we are. We came out with a shirt that said yeet, pray, love. And we thought it was funny. I don't know if the kids thought it was funny, but we thought it was funny.
They wear it. There's actually this girl on YouTube.
Some Canadian,
this Canadian girl on YouTube who is not a Christian,
almost a million followers,
like a ton of followers, and she just, this was last or 2 weeks ago,
2 weeks ago,
she decided to review our devotional. And I was so scared to watch it. I'm like, oh no, because I'm like, I'm seeing it's like 200,000 views, and like she's like going through
positive.
She was going through like, from this is where I've gathered from Sunday cool, blah 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 blah, but she's like, I actually, from the little bit I've read of the devotional, I actually really really liked it. And she bought our yeet pray love shirt and she was wearing it, and she's like, it was more of an ironic thing for her. She's like, no one says this, but this is funny. So
That's got to be, like, affirming, isn't it? Like, that it connected with the audience it was intended to connect with.
Yeah, it was super cool, so.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously, like I said, coming from the project this is and has become, and I definitely think we need more stuff like this that's putting the Bible. I mean, because I feel like, I wonder if back in the day, you know, the first person that put up a flannel graph and was like, this is how I'm going to tell Bible stories. If people were like, no,
you can't do that.
This is not the sacred text. This is different. It's like, you're just trying to get this to people, whether it's kids, whoever it is, in a way that is approachable and like you can engage with it. And it feels like you're invited into the thing because it's a very daunting thing. I feel like Christians forget that the Bible is like this massive book that's not originally written in English. Like, no, nobody's running to the store to pick that up if it's like any other book. You know, there's not a lot of like.
That's kind of been our mindset too with the Gen Z thing, was like, we're approaching it kind of like just a mission field, in the sense that God's word never changes, but the way of presenting it does change culturally or cross-culturally. So like the example would be like, you wouldn't go present the gospel to people living in Tokyo as the same as going to some tribesmen in Papua New Guinea. Like, you present it just differently. And so that's kind of been our goal, is presenting it through humor, like that, because that's our outlet or whatever. So,
yeah, I mean, people literally, if VeggieTales can do it, we can do it. You know, like, if people can have, you know, teach kids about the Bible through vegetables, I'm pretty sure we can attempt to do it as well.
Yeah.
And, like, literally, like, I mean, I'm pro VeggieTales. I love VeggieTales. But they would, like, literally kind of change the story and, like, present it.
Well, I said this was concerning to me, because I don't know if we did a video recently of how VeggieTales was created.
I saw it.
Yeah, but, like, looking back, it was, like, in middle school where, in my head, I was thinking that the Wall of Jericho, that they, like, whenever someone would say the Wall of Jericho, I always just envisioned them pouring slushies over the wall.
Right.
Like on the Israelites. And so it kind of, I had to go back and reteach myself a lot of Bible stories growing up from watching VeggieTales. But I mean, it was entertaining.
It was super entertaining, but I wonder, it's an active wonder of mine, because stuff like yours gets so hated on, and it's like this, it's really a way more subtle tweak. It's like, what if we said this same thing using different words? Then you take something like the story of the walls of Jericho, and it's all slushies and giggles. And then you go read the story, and it's like, oh no, a ton of people died. A ton of people were murdered. That's a fundamentally different story. Right. Yeah, right. So it's like, we're super cool with like the way, like, way changing of the story, but when you take a Bible verse and replace heart with chest thumper, you there's big problems.
Kill him. Yeah,
but that's very cool to hear that story. It's very cool just to get to talk with you guys, and to just, as Florida men gather, like, that's, I think that's important. Where two or more Florida men are gathered, there I am.
Yeah.
But let's, at the end here, I kept saying I would. So it's at Cool Carl is one place people can follow you, right?
Yeah, at Cool Carl, and Carl spelled with two L's.
That's Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, Facebook. And I don't know why I spelled it with two L's, but I did.
And now we have to follow it.
Yeah, we had to stick with it. So that, and then at Sunday Cool Tees on Facebook and Instagram too, and YouTube. That's our YouTube.
And TikTok, yep.
Yeah, we have all these. Yep. We're trying to keep up with all the kiddos.
So TikTok, YouTube, Instagram at Sunday Cool Tees.
Yeah, or Cool Carl.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some, or we have cool so Carl. Many. But yeah, that's the basics.
Or Just Andy. You can always follow Just Andy.
Follow me too. Yeah, that's also important.
Well, thanks again so much. You guys are awesome. Really loved having you guys on, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you, Anthony.
Good talking to you, dude.
Thanks, guys. Well, everybody out there listening, thank you so much for coming along for another episode of The Bible is Funny podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast, leave a review. That's the most helpful thing you can do to help get the word out about this. But thanks so much for listening. If you're not already, follow along on Instagram at The Bible is Funny. Send me a message there. I love hearing from you guys, your thoughts on the podcast, how you listen to the podcast, etc. You're the best. Thanks for listening. We'll have another episode here very soon. The Bible.